Well, hey everybody, it's Chuck. Good morning. It is the 23rd, Sunday, and we got some chores in the bee yard today, and I've got a lot to tell you about that happened yesterday and the day before with my queens and some swarming and where we are. It's kind of, I think the cold weather's behind us. We had one more day in the 30s on the 20th and 21st, but last night was in the mid 40s, and I think we're gonna kind of slowly go up from here. I didn't even expect to make a video of this today, but I opened up the observation hive and I was getting a little bit of crud down here on the bottom from condensation, but you can see she's up to 2 frames of brood working on the bottom, but I need to get that crud out because they're not getting it out and out through the tube. So it's just a good chance to kind of open this up and kind of help them out. Otherwise it'll kind of get funky on the bottom down there. It's kind of like a nuke box that accumulates dead bees on the bottom, and it can kind of get putrid if you let it sit. They may eventually clean it out and the smell may go away, but it's also an opportunity for small hive beetles and other things to kind of get into the hive that you might want to manage a different way. So I'm just going to crack this open. I'm probably not going to pull out all the frames. I'm going to take the glass off and just kind of clean out the bottom and maybe talk to you while I'm doing it so you can kind of see. I love this observation hive. It is still one of my favorite tools in the apiary. Just because I kind of get to see where the bees are with little management. And honestly, you know, there's a lot of debate about small hive beetles and Varroa treatments and whether or not treatment-free or not treatment-free is the way to go. And, you know, with this bee die-off that we're going through right now, there's a lot of just good, healthy speculation about what is causing it. Is it our treatments? Is it... Everybody seems to think it's mites, and it probably is mites, but is it the combination of mites getting the upper hand with the environment? And that's probably what's going on. So with my observation hive, I try to not treat it like a full-on production hive, trying to keep them absolutely, you know, I don't do oxalic acid on this as often as I do the other ones. I do have my little mite treatment up here, and if I see the queen or if I get a chance and the bees don't go crazy when I take this glass off, I may do a quick mite check just to see where they're at. But honestly, if I find they're high, I don't know that I'm going to do anything about it. I may just let them deal. Throw a little bit of smoke in there. I'm using the 360 camera again today. I got some good feedback from some of y'all that it was not as high resolution, and that's a byproduct of recording in 360 degrees and then reframing it is what it's called. But give me some feedback on my camera angles, if you don't mind. The thing about the 360 is I don't have to move the camera around a lot in order. All right, they may be upset, so I'm gonna hood up. I don't have to reframe the camera a lot in order to get the shot you guys need. But if I don't have the 360, I've got to constantly move the camera so you guys can see. I am seeing some definite cleaning in here. Yeah, this is what I'm trying to remove, this crud at the bottom. It's like a combination of moisture, condensation, and dead bees on the bottom that are turning into dead bee goo. And honestly, it's probably not good for the wood either. So I kind of need to take out a frame here to do the best job, because I don't want to open this thing all the way up. Yeah, it's a little funky down here on the bottom. I don't know where the queen is, so I'm treating this pretty delicately. She shouldn't be down here on the bottom. She should be somewhere up on the top laying that brood. A little bit moldy. I'm hesitant to clean this up because I kind of want to watch them clean it up. And you know how I noticed this mess as I was in my shed, and there was kind of a puddle on the floor, and essentially this bee goo and condensation was working its way through the cracks of the hive. They're keeping their kind of entrance over here pretty clean where they come and go, but the further over here, they weren't. Gosh, I think I need a little bit of water. Just to kind of well, that looks better. Should I do a mic check? I always tell you guys to do one, so I'm gonna do one. I hadn't seen the queen yet, so I'm gonna have to be pretty careful. Let me go ahead and put this back in here. I don't know if you guys can see this. They're uncapping a little bit of the brood in here, which is a little bit of a hygienic behavior. I don't know if the queen is in here, so I'm gonna look before I drown them. Yeah, I don't see her in there. Okay, what do you guys think we're gonna get? I'm expecting some mites. But if I do get mites, am I gonna freak out about it or am I gonna let it go? I don't know. Part of me just says if I get 30 mites, I feel like I need to do something, otherwise it's just gonna die. But if I get like 5 or 10, I don't know, kinda wanna let it go. All right, let's get a quick peek here. I'm not gonna make this take any longer than it needs to. Holy shit. Zero. Wow. Zero mites, guys. I didn't expect that. I mean, I hadn't touched this hive. God, wouldn't that be great if our bees are doing this? See this uncapping here? Wouldn't it be great if these bees are uncapping and catching these mites and breaking this cycle? I mean, even some of this drone brood. Oh, that would be so awesome. Zero mites, that surprised me. I was gonna say 5 to 10. I don't know. You guys may not believe me. I don't know if you're gonna see this on the 360 or not. I'm gonna just get as close as I can, but or zero. All right, so now how am I gonna get these ladies back in here? I'm gonna kind of put the glass on and kind of smoke them in, and hopefully they'll find their way and kind of realize I'm trying to crowd them back in. Come on in, ladies. Wow, I'm still kind of freaking out about zero mites in an observation hive that hadn't had any treatments. What does that tell us that we need to be doing? Leave them alone? I don't know. I think there's so many variables right now going on. We're just guessing a little bit. The bees know. I mean, is this just, if you get a hive, a mite count of 30, especially as a backyard beekeeper, should I just let the hive die and start over and try to get a hive that's doing like this one is and just kind of figuring it out? I don't know. I kind of raise this up. All right, I think that's it for now. I'm gonna put this back and we'll talk to you on some of the other items I got for you today. Okay, hey everybody. I wanna tell you a story about hive number 10. There was a double deep on here the other day, last week, and when I was doing all of my swarm prevention, queen rearing, and you also notice I got another set of graft cells in here. I grafted again yesterday on the 22nd, so I've got my brood chamber, queen excluder, a chimney of brood, and then my double screen board, and then my grafts are in here. So I've got another round of grafts going. But while I was preparing all of this, I was gonna make hive number 10 this hive. And I was going through, and the first thing to do is I gotta get the queen down on the bottom. I looked everywhere and could not find the queen. But I found two queen cells and they were capped. But there's a lot of bees in there. And I'm like, they didn't swarm. But there were two capped queen cells. So my brain was telling me, don't kill those queen cells. They could have swarmed. And I was going through it. I bet I spent 45 minutes. And then I was like, you know what? This hive had a scale under it at the time. It's over there now. I moved it. And I went and I looked on my Broodminder app. And I looked at yesterday. And I looked at the weight. And there was a jag down where the weight all of a sudden dropped by 2.5 pounds at 9:35 in the morning, perfect swarm hour, but it was 42 degrees out. A little bit cold for bees to fly and swarm in my mind. But the reason I'm telling you this is it all kind of came together, but the data that confirmed my suspicion was the hive scale and the dip in the weight of the scale at a very specific time. I wasn't in the apiary and it just dropped by 2 pounds in between two measurements, 9:35's measurement and 10:35's measurement. I lost some weight. So I determined that the hive swarmed, and of course I looked up at all my trees, and you know, a 2 pound swarm is not very big, which also kind of goes back to the 42 degree morning, and maybe a bunch of them were like, you're crazy, I'm not swarming right now. But they did. The queen was not in there. So long story short, I went ahead and decided they swarmed. I need to make some splits for all the queen cells that we're gonna take a look at a little bit later today. So all of these nukes over here now have the brood, and a couple of them the queen cells, from this swarmed hive that was going to be a double deep going into the honey flow, but it swarmed, and I was like, you know what, I need to go ahead and break it down, because once they make those swarm cells, there's a chance that there was going to be an after swarm of a lot more bees than that little 2.5 pounds of bees that I lost to the trees. This was probably, the hive weighed 101 pounds on my scale before it swarmed, or something around that, right around 100. So obviously 2 pounds of bees isn't that much, but it is it's a swarm. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. And I do have all of the data on my hive, my Broodminder scales. Hopefully I put that picture in there and kind of pointed at a couple things. The very interesting things were I was very specifically able to see it was during the swarm hour, the morning. It was a bright, sunny, cool morning. I was able to see the two time windows. The Hive scale takes a measurement every hour, so it was between 9:35 and 10:35. And I was able to see the temperature, and the temperature was 42 degrees at the first measurement. I think it was like 49.5 degrees at the end of the measurement as it warmed up in the morning. So right in that 45 degree temperature zone, they swarmed with 2.5 pounds of bees, which, you know, so if you're going into your hives, and I think the lesson here is if you see swarm cells, find the queen before you start cutting swarm cells, because if I'd have wanted to keep that hive together, I would have needed to let them raise that queen. But more than likely, they were going to after swarm with many more bees because there were like 5 swarm cells in there that I missed. And I checked that hive last week, so that's how quickly you get in here. It's about 7 days. Now, granted, those cells may have been started last week, but they were just tiny, and then they were ended up being capped by the time I got back to it. So that's the story of Hive 10 with the Broodminder scales and how much I love them. I don't have a hive on every scale, but boy, I was really glad to have one of that one because it stopped me from looking for the queen. A couple other things. So my queen cells, let's come over here. So this is the hive with the queen cells that we did together on the grafting video. And you can see I've even got my Broodminder temperature sensor ready to go into this hive. They are gonna hatch on Monday or Tuesday, early hatch and then normal hatch. So with yesterday's bee events, I've got 18 mini mating nukes that I did shakes out of all of these hives because these hives were getting strong. So I did shakes out of everything. The split hives, I've got bees and I've got my splits over here that have been queenless for a day. These cells can come out of here today or tomorrow. After seeing that hive swarm, I'm a little bit worried about this hive swarming because she's down here below a queen excluder. She's been in here for this entire grafting cycle. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to take these capped queen cells out and we'll get our first look at how many I have capped and see how good I was. And I've got a new incubator in the barn shed and I've already got it warmed up to 95 degrees. I'm going to keep them in there today and I'll show you how I take my cells from here and I put them in the incubator. I could have taken these cells out right after they were capped and put them in the incubator, but I had to go to work, and the day that I came back from work, we were in that do not mess with zone. There's 3 days that they don't recommend you touch any queen cells because their wings are forming, and any sort of disruption can kind of dislodge the pupa while the wings are forming, and then she will not be a viable queen. So I decided to let them keep her warm, all of them warm, and I'm going to take them out today. And I guess, well, shucks, while we're here, let's crack it open and let me get my smoker and we'll see what we got. We'll count them together. Okay, so this is a pretty strong hive, but she has been constrained below a queen excluder. You know, since we built this as a cell. So we'll do some inspections later after we do the queen cell count and get them into the incubator together. Good. Lots of bees up top. And if I remember right, our queen bar is probably going to be one of these in the middle. Can't remember. So I'm going to take one out to the side that I do not expect to be my queen bar. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you guys off from the view. I might even move you a little bit closer here. Capped brood. Whew. Now the queen, I don't have to look for the queen because she should not be up here. These are my new hive stands. Remember, we made those together and I'm loving them. And look, see how I can just kind of set that right there on the edge? That's what I meant when I said, okay, these are my queen cells. Moment of truth, ladies and gents. Let's see what we got. I think I grafted 45. Wow, holy smokes. Can you see that? The first row is 100%. Did I get 100%? No, Chuck's never gotten 100%. I think I did. Wow. All right, ladies and gents. Chuck's got 45 queen cells to deal with. Holy smokes. Well, if that isn't a testament for this method, I don't know what is. I don't think I've ever gotten 100%. Let me go get my bee brush. And while I'm walking away, I'm sitting here. I'm just going to drop my jaw again and go 100%. So far this morning, I've got a zero mite check and 100% grafting success. Man, maybe it's going to be a good bee year. So, these queen cells can be moved today, according to my queen calendar. And I do have a queen calendar for you guys to use. It's on my website, chuckshoneybees.com. I created a new website, for those of you who don't know. I kind of reorganized everything, and I'm trying to put some resources. And there's a queen calendar on there. It's a Google Sheet. You're welcome to copy it, use it. I do get a lot of confusion, though, when people go click on the link, and then they say, hey, it says I need permission to use this. I can't give you permission to use my sheet because I don't want you messing with my calendar. But what you need to do on Google is just copy it and give it your own name, and you can do whatever you want with it. Every once in a while, I make some tweaks. So come back to my website and see if I've made any changes to it. But you're more than welcome to go to my chuckshoneybees.com website and take a look at that queen calendar. Well, ladies and gents, that is what you call success. I don't know. I'm even going to just take my veil off for a second. Don't drop these ladies, Chuck. So, 45 queen cells. I've got some work to do because I don't think I have 45 spots for these queen cells. So, I'm really glad I've got my incubator ready to go. Because if I don't have a spot for each of these queen cells, I can go ahead and put them in the incubator and let them hatch out. And some of the ones that maybe don't hatch, I can just kind of requeen. But yeah, let's go put these in the incubator. Let me take you inside. Actually, before I go inside, I'm going to take the queen excluder off because I've got some work to do here. And this hive is going to wait till later on today, but I want that queen moving around so she's got all the room. Let me think about this. Yeah, I'm going to take the queen excluder off and let her... Because if they were going to swarm today, taking the queen excluder off might alleviate a little bit of the swarming tendency. I do want to show you something else that I'm starting to do. See these... These brood mites, I'm so happy with my sensors because it gives me data. These temperature sensors, I just rewrapped them all into new things that they gave me at the Nobby Expo to take care of my older sensors that were getting all propolized up. And I've got some of this nano tape. And the reason they were breaking up is because I kept having to take these sensors out of the hive and unpropolize them. But what I'm going to do now is I am going to secure this to a frame that is most likely always going to be in the middle. And I'm going to attach it to a newer frame so it maybe will live in this hive longer. So kind of right here. So it's kind of right the width of the frame, and now it's in there. So now I can still pop that frame off without having to move that sensor so much. And here's my OA strips doing good work there. And a double deep. Remember, the OA strips can only go into double deeps. Okay, so I'm going to put that back together. Oh gosh, this hive is prime for swarming. It's heavy, it's a double, and these warm temperatures are just going to give that impulse. And let's go inside. All right, everybody. I'm bringing my incubator over so you can see it. I keep it over in a darker, kind of less, more isolated spot in my shed. But I just want to show you what it is. It's a still air digital incubator. There's no fan in here. It's a chicken egg incubator that it works fine. It keeps them right at the temperature I want. There are some ambient temperature kind of constraints you need to think about. So what I've also got... This keeps it at the right temperature, but I've also got another one of these wireless temperature and humidity sensors. And I also keep a bowl with some sponges in here to keep the humidity up. And what I'm gonna do now, so I 3D print these. This is a 3D printed design that I made with these cages. I will say I copied this design from a brand called EZPZ. That's E letter Z, P letter Z. And I essentially made my own design out of it. So don't ask me for this 3D model, because somebody worked hard on engineering this, and I'd like you to go to them to buy their product rather than take what I did. But I chose to make my own design, but I'm not going to sell them, because I want you to support whoever did this design. EZPZ, they're really good. But the nice thing about this design is I could put this on this cage and it would hold on there. I think I can show you here. Let's see if I can get it on one of these. I don't want to damage any of these cells right now. But this fits up and will hold on there. So I could create a bank, essentially. But let's see, and these trays hold them, so I can have a bunch of them. I can set this in the incubator. So, you know, this is the way I do it. Now, I don't know that I have enough trays for 45 of these bad little ladies. So I'm just going to start with what I got, and we'll see where we go. Maybe I'll fast forward through this as I do it, but I'm going to walk you through the basics. So you need to be gentle, and these can pop out. So this is where you want to firmly grab them from the plastic base and just set it in there. And if you see the design of these things, the little cages, you can kind of push these JZBZ cups in there, and now they're vertically hanging in a cage. I've also designed these a little bit. I think I improved the design, but what I've also done is I've got holes in the bottom of these cages, and I'll show you that in a second. And the hole in the bottom of the cage allows me to put water in these trays, and there's a tiny little hole at the bottom where, you know, if they were in here a long time and the air dried out, they can go down and get a little bit of water. Otherwise, that's probably the biggest risk of newly hatched queens, is they need food and water. So I can't just let these hatch out and do nothing. I need to put worker bees in here. I need to give them a little bit of honey. And I need to put not so much honey that the queens perhaps cover their wings and or get soaked in it. So you don't want to overdo the honey and or the water. But these are only going to hopefully be in here for, let me think, I got 18 mini mating nukes, and I've got probably 15 of my splits. Maybe I'll get a few more splits out of that other hive today. I've got a lot of queen cells. I plan for about 60% success rate. Sometimes I'll do more than that, but I can tell you I've never done 100. And I don't think it has anything to do with my grafting. I think it's more along the lines of that starter that we built together on that video a few weeks ago was rock solid and strong. And the temperature was right, and well-fed, well-nutrition. So there you go. So one full bar fits into one of my little trays. I'm going to go ahead and push these little caps in the top of this. So you don't have to push these in, because let me tell you what, the bees aren't going to push these out. But you could argue that if you dropped it or something like that, they could fall out. So there you go. So the tray allows me to manage multiples together, and then I can just take these trays and set them inside into this nice, warm, moist air, and I'll start out with another tray. I'll use a combination of my own designs and these other ones as I've got fit. I went with black initially, and I have to tell you, I don't like black as much as white, because when you print things in black, it's a little harder to see the contrast against the bee on the inside. So I guess I would say white or light color would be my preference going forward if I had to do this again. I think I've made more bees than I have cages for. Oh, this is another thing I made. So I made these little caps with a hole in it, and I can stick queen candy in here, and I can tape that up, and now that is a release cage, right? You take the tape off, and they can eat through, and this is now a release cage. So this little cap turns these cages into release cages. And I've got a bunch of those little caps filled out, printed out. Some of them don't have holes in them, and then I changed the design so they could always be a releasing cage. I don't know what you guys think about this. You guys like it when I talk about my little invention sort of ideas? I don't expect everyone else to do this, but maybe it'll inspire you to do it, you know? A lot of people say, should I get a 3D printer? Anyone that thinks they're into engineering, get a 3D printer. It lets your mind and the ideas you have turn into reality. It takes some time to learn the computer-aided design or the CAD software. So if you're not technically inclined and can't use a computer, it might not be for you, because it does take a little bit of learning, a journey to create things. But I'll tell you what, you can buy a printer and never create anything and just copy designs or download designs that other people make and give away for free or sell, and then you can just print things at home. Just an idea. I love the design part where I take an idea and I run with it. Sometimes I can put these worker bees in the cages with them. They'll be there when they hatch out. Wow, what am I gonna do with all these queens? I guess at this point, I should probably be assessing which queens are the best queens through the, see, these queen cells, they're probably all fine, but you know, I think it's a human thing to love a big, long, juicy cell, but you know, you can get just as good a queen out of a little bit of a shorter cell as some of these longer cells. If they capped it, it's probably got good nutrition. You know, if a queen cell doesn't have good nutrition, they will break it down and consume the protein from the pupa, and they'll eat all that royal jelly. So if they decided to put it in here, more than likely it's viable. You know, with 100% graft success rate, you know, now the next question is, what's my hatch rate going to be? But obviously having, you know, the other thing is, if I don't have places for all these queen cells, I could put two queen cells in some of the nukes and let the best queen win, right? You know, that's another option. When they hatch out, you know, sometimes it's the first one will win, but if they hatch near the same time frame, maybe the stronger queen will win. I'm not going to push all those in there. I talked to you guys about that already. Okay, so I think I'm out of my fancy bee cages, which means I need to print more. I'm going to show you another technique I use. Before I printed that, I used to use these NICO, I believe. N-I-C-O-T, I believe is what they're called. The NICO cages. And they are these hair roller style cages. And they have these bases you can set things on like that. And on the top, there's another little indentation. And sometimes you can set things on that. They don't really work as well for holding queens that weren't raised in these cells, because the design is you put a queen cup in here and then you put her in there. But because I don't have that, I'm wondering if I can use a... No, that isn't going to work. You know, you buy some of these from China, and they're not always the same. And here's an example of that. The holes on the bottom of these are different sizes. This hole, the base fits in there like that. So I've got to go to my older style that have the holes that will hold them. And that's not a very good fit, but it'll hold it on there. And what I can do is I can take these queen cells now and you set them in like that. And now They've got their own little cage and that little Nico designed hair roller. I don't prefer these because they're not as snug. Let me show you what I mean by that. I mean, they're easier to bump. This is a little loose. I may not even put that one on there if I, because I think I got enough of these old. I don't use, yeah, that's loose too. Maybe it's the base plate that's loose, not the actual cage. And you can see, they're not as efficient on space as those other cages that I've got. But in a bind, when your success rate in grafting is through the roof, it's working out okay. You guys are probably laughing at me with all these old cages. I'm not a hoarder, but I hate to throw away things I don't use for situations that might come up in the future, like this. Okay, you guys, hopefully you stuck with me through that, and if not, that's okay too, because that was a little bit longer than I expected. So in these, because this is so much less space efficient, I've got to kind of set it in here like that and not drop it. So that is 45 queen cells that are going to stay at 95 degrees. Appropriate humidity, hopefully I can keep it at 50 to 60% until we put them in our mini mating nukes and the splits. But I wanted to finish that journey with you, show you what I got. Sorry about the little mayhem around here, but hey, life of a beekeeper. All right, thanks for watching this part, and we got more chores to do. Stick with me. All right, everybody, I'm back. I'm playing with another camera angle again too. So this is the hive we just took the queen cells out of. Remember we just put the took the queen excluder out. So now, since I haven't been in this hive because I was worried about messing with the queen cells, I just want to make sure that everything looks good and they are not swarming, especially in the bottom where the queen was. So let's take a quick peek in here and see how we do. This hive is a double. It probably needs thinning. Now, I know I told you guys I was going to do a demarray, and after yesterday's swarm, I may do it on this one. Meaning, like, I don't want to lose another, even though a tiny swarm, I don't want to lose any more bees to swarms if I can do it, and I wanted to do a demarray. Starting to draw this out. A little bit of a comb up here that they may need a little bit more wax on, but I'm going to let them keep going. They're doing a good job. There's nectar on here, so it's either that's from my open feeders out in the front yard, or they're bringing in nectar. It could be nectar. Early nectar. Not honey flow nectar. Wow. Okay, so now we're, ow. She got me there. This is in the top box that had the queen cells in it, so we should not find any eggs up in here other than what might have been laid in the last 15 minutes. But that's, this is going to be a strong hive. We'll see what she's been doing in the bottom in a minute. Just want to double check on all, make sure she didn't move up here. This is natural drawn drone frame, right? You put, give them a natural drawn comb and they are gonna turn it into drone brood, which is, this is a new frame I put in just a few minutes ago. Starting to work on it already, clean it up. So it looks like if mama's not on this frame, she's in the bottom. Heavy, heavy honey frame. Lots of food. These guys, you know what? I think I know where this video is gonna end up. Okay, so let me move this top box off and we'll get in the bottom. This is a pure foundation frame when we started our egg cycle. Lots of brood, larva. There's a cup. No egg. Starting to lay some drone brood in here too. Remember, I moved her down here. Took her away from maybe some of these natural drawn frames that she might have preferred to lay drone brood in. Oh boy, this is a prime swarm candidate. When you just see this number of bees and this amount of brood, this brood is going to explode. There's another queen cup. Any egg? Nope, not yet. You know, the act of breaking the hive up to do the queen rearing was a little bit of a split, but I also constrained her down here with a lot of bees and brood, and she has just continued to lay this bottom up, which is too much brood. I've done my splits. I got room for a handful more, so I could do splits, but I told you guys I wanted to do a demarray, and a demarray is, it's a vertical split without taking away any brood, meaning like she gets to keep it all. It takes a little bit of extra equipment, and there's another cup. No egg yet, another cup. They're ready though. Once this brood starts, I would think she's going to be laying in these cups today or tomorrow if she hadn't laid in one I hadn't already seen yet. But the cups are there in the right spots for swarming, right? They're all on that bottom edge. This is not supersedure or emergency up top. Nice, dark, empty frame I gave her at the beginning of the week. It's all got eggs and larvae. This is a nice, and there's mom. You see her? Before I point her, tell me, she's marked green. Here she is. And she is on this perfect open brood frame. So, and look at her, everybody's taking care of her. So, this is what we're gonna do. Since we found mom, and here's a perfect open brood frame, I'm gonna cage her up, because we're gonna do some manipulations. All right. We are going to do the Demaray. Hopefully you guys can stick with me on this. But this is how this video is going to go. If you're watching this video right now, you're going to get to see a sneak peek of the Demaray method. I'm not doing the lesson beforehand. I'm going to take this portion of the video and put it after a lesson in the B-Lab talking about the manipulations before we do it. So this is going to be kind of a combined. This is not going to be a Demaray video, but you're going to see a Demaray split. And if you watch my Demaray video, you're going to end up seeing the lesson and this clip also, because I'm going to kind of reuse it, because I don't know that I'm going to have enough. I want to do a Demaray, but I want to do it now, because this hive is ready to swarm and it's ready to go. So I need to get a couple pieces of equipment, because remember, the Demaray is the queen's going in the bottom under a queen excluder. You're going to put some honey supers in there. You're going to put another queen excluder, and then you're going to put this brood up on the top. All the queen gets in the bottom is one frame of brood, which makes this entire hive feel like it swarmed. Okay, but you're not putting a double screen board that is actually creating a queenless split. You're just putting queen excluders. Now, when you separate this hive by either one or two supers, you are creating a distance between the brood and the queen, and they may think that she's swarmed or are queenless. So that's one of the issues. So let me go get a couple supers. I've already got some deep boxes, and we will get this done. Stick with me. Okay, I'm back. So the only equipment you need to do a Demaray split is an extra deep, because effectively you're going to take the hive you've got and put the queen in the bottom with one frame of brood. So I need to go ahead and, you know, I've already got the top off. I've already got the queen isolated. She's over here and they're taking care of her. I'm going to take this bottom box off now and move it to the side. One of the things about these, you know, you need honey supers, but I'm assuming as a beekeeper, you've got honey supers. This is also, because there's not really a honey flow on, this is probably the time to have them draw out some honey supers, right? You don't really need them to be storing honey. So if one of your boxes has got, you know, wax foundation, this is the time to do that, right? Get it ready for the honey flow, if they're going to draw it out. But either way, you're giving them the space. So this is a brand new box with frames. I've already got them waxed up. If you've got drawn comb, that is a good thing to put in here too, so she has got room to lay. And I do have some drawn comb, so I'm going to put a few frames in here like this. Like, see, this is drawn comb that needs to be cleaned up by them. I'm going to take out some of the super nasty stuff and let them draw that back out. Let me see what else I got I can give them. Here's one they've started to draw, right, that I took out of another hive. Has got some wax on it. These frames are not as important right now as the ones we're going to do in a minute that you have to get right. Okay, the queen is going in the bottom box. Uh-oh, broken frame, you're done. See that? End of life. All right, the queen is gonna stay in the bottom with one frame of brood, that's it. Capped brood is probably best. Open, completely open is probably not best, because you want essentially to get some nurse bees down here. You're effectively getting ready to remove all the nurse bees from this hive. So if you remember, the top of my other hive had all the capped brood in it because it was isolated from the queen. So let's get one of those capped brood frames we were oohing and aahing about a few minutes ago. All right. Capped brood. Room to lay. This is mama's only frame. Everything else is going to be space. This one can go on the bottom too. It's a little bit of drawn, a little bit of food. Now remember, we're not taking resources from this hive. It's just not going to be with the queen. They're going to have honey. All that honey is still going to be with her. So you remember what comes next? The queen. They're sitting here taking care of her. I put my eyes on her. There she is. Uh-oh, broke my rubber band. There's mama. Come on down. Get a drink first. All right, come on down. Come on down. Come on down. There she goes. She's down. All right, what comes next? We use the same one, the queen excluder. What comes next? Two. You could probably use one. This is all about space. You could probably use one. Because there's no, I'm going to use two just to give it the full deal. So there's two honey supers. Now, because the flow is not on, they don't really need to be storing that much honey. No, so I'm going to use one. I'm going to use this one right here without the drawn frame. Let's see. Yeah, this is the one they need to start drawing out. So I'm going to do one frame today because there is no honey flow on. This is not about storing honey. And if I only do one frame, I'm isolating the queen a little bit less from the brood, which means they might not feel queenless. Now, what's next? All of our brood. It goes on the top, both open and closed. So essentially, you're just putting the hive back together like it was. Now, she can't lay up here. So what is up here, though? You remember? A couple of these frames had open brood in it. 100% open brood. What's that going to do? If they think they're queenless, they're going to make a queen cell up here. So, in about 4 to 7 days, you know me, I'm out here almost every day when I'm not at work, I need to make sure I come up here and pull any queen cells. And then they will be hopelessly queenless up here. So that is the beauty of the Demaree method. Now, I'm using my broodminder here, and this is going to be between the major portion of the brood. And let's see, I took one frame from there, so I need one more frame here. Essentially using the space. This has got a lot of food in it. I'm getting ready to cut you off, so I'm going to stack this up here and bring it around. Oh gosh, look at that. This is why those lower hive scales were supposed to be helpful. This is why I built them also. You can still see me. Uh-oh. Guess what I forgot? Forgot to put my oxalic acid in here, in the brood nest. Keep those mice at bay. My beetle traps. Beetles are at bay. My beetle technique is working. I'm not ready to tell you about it yet. I'm asking the state if I'm allowed to tell you. Bringing you around. All right, since I can't write way up here, taking my notes. 2:23. There is a green queen I'm just saying demare. Split. All right, what have we done? We've done a vertical split. I'm also checking my queen excluders, making sure I am. We did a vertical split. The queen is down here and is going to sense with her workers that come back that they have swarmed. All that space, one frame of brood, they got 10 frames in there, some of it needs drawn out. A queen excluder to keep her from getting up into this space, but the workers can now come up and down. They can take the honey, they can bring it down, they can move it around. This single super is creating a gap that may make this top hive feel queenless, and they may take some of these eggs up here and turn them into queen cells. So I need to come back in a few days when the queen cells are not capped, but are being made, and cut them out. So they will be hopelessly queenless up here. This eventually would turn into honey supers if I don't re-manipulate it when the honey flow is on. This is what I'm going to try as a pre-honey flow split to maintain the size of this hive. And if they get too big up here, I may just keep adding more supers. I don't really like honey in my deeps, so I'm not going to... we'll see. We'll play with that in April when the flow is here. Right now, we're just trying to keep this very strong hive from splitting before they do. So if you stuck with me and you saw this on the first video, thank you for watching. We just did a demare on this. I'm going to take this portion of the video and reuse it on the lesson video that will be dedicated to how to do a demare. But it's a vertical split. It takes a little bit of extra equipment. You needed an extra deep. You needed some more frames to make them empty. Drawn would be better. Foundation is fine because they can get to work on that. You need to start using supers to create some space and let these worker bees start going up and down between two different excluders and keeping that queen down here in the bottom. Now, that queen can fill up 10 frames this time of year pretty quick, so this is not a set it and forget it. You bought time, but of course, you've got an army here that's not in the trees. And from what I have read, this is a very reliable way of keeping a hive from swarming. But I guess time will tell. I do want to give a shout out to my stands I put on the bottom. This type of vertical height with all this height weight I would not have done on my 4x4 center block stand. So anyway, I think that was a good move. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this video. I hope it wasn't too much content for you in one sitting. Let me know if you stuck all the way to the end, if you're still here. Put a comment below and say, I made it to the end, Chuck. Anyway, happy beekeeping, and we'll see you soon.